Commission meeting on October 27th, 2025. The meeting is being called to order at 4:37 p.m. This meeting is being held in person in City Hall Room 400 and broadcast live on SFGov TV. The Small Business Commission thanks Media Services and SFGov TV for televising the meeting, which can be viewed on SFGov TV 2 or live streamed at sfgovtv.org. We welcome general public comment at the end of the meeting, and there will be an opportunity to comment on each discussion or action item on the agenda. Public comment during the meeting is limited to 3 minutes per speaker. An alarm will sound once the time is finished. Speakers are requested but not required to state their names. SFGov TV, please show the Office of Small Business slide. Today we will begin with a reminder that the Small Business Commission is the official public forum to voice your opinions and concerns about policies that affect the economic vitality of small businesses in San Francisco. Call item one, please.
Item one, roll call. Commissioner Benitez.
Present.
Commissioner Cornett.
Present.
Commissioner Dickerson is absent. Commissioner Herbert, we're expecting her late. President Huey.
Here.
Commissioner Ortiz Cartagena is absent, and Vice President Zazunas.
President, you have a quorum.
Thank you. The San Francisco Small Business Commission and Office of Small Business staff acknowledges that we are on the unceded ancestral homeland of the Ramaytush Ohlone, who are the original inhabitants of the San Francisco Peninsula. As the indigenous stewards of this land and in accordance with their traditions, the Ramaytush Ohlone have never ceded, lost, nor forgotten their responsibilities as the caretakers of this place, as well as for all peoples who reside in their traditional territory. As guests, we recognize that we benefit from living and working on their traditional homeland. We wish to pay our respects by acknowledging the ancestors, elders, and relatives of the Ramaytush Ohlone community and by affirming their sovereign rights as First Peoples. Please call the next item.
Item two, approval of legacy business registry applications and resolutions. This is a discussion and action item. The commission will discuss and possibly take action to approve legacy business registry applications. Presenting today, we have Michelle Reynolds from the Office of Small Business.
Hi, welcome, Michelle.
Hi, good afternoon, commissioners, city staff, and members of the public. I'm Michelle Reynolds. I'm the Small Business Programs and Communications Manager at the Office of Small Business. I am here on behalf of Richard Carrillo, Legacy Business Program Manager, who is out of the office. SFGov TV, I have a PowerPoint. Oh, it's already up. Look at that. So before you today are two applications for your consideration for the Legacy Business Registry. Each application includes the registry application, a draft resolution, and documents from the planning department. The applications were submitted to planning on September 17th and heard by the Historic Preservation Commission on October 15th. Item 2A is Gasparri's Pizza House, an Italian restaurant. The business was founded in 1985 in the Richmond District. Gasparri's Pizza specializes in Italian cuisine and pizza, including a variety of pasta dishes, veal, chicken, seafood, vegetarian, and gluten-free dishes. The business is known for their home-style cooking at reasonable prices in a romantic setting, including hanging Chianti bottles and grape leaves, checkered tablecloths, and their iconic neon sign outside. Gasparri's is proud to serve the best homemade food and desserts, and their entire menu can be prepared for pickup orders to go. The core feature tradition the business must maintain to remain on the Legacy Business Registry is restaurant featuring Italian cuisine. Item 2B is the Waterfront Restaurant. This business was founded in 1969 at the historic Pier 7 on the Embarcadero. The Waterfront Restaurant and Cafe is a landmark dining establishment featuring fresh, organically grown seafood and farm-to-table produce, with a menu reflecting Californian and Mediterranean cuisine. The business is known for its unique maritime ambiance and unparalleled views of the Bay Bridge, Treasure Island, and Alcatraz. The Waterfront Restaurant survived a fire in 1973 and the Loma Prieta earthquake in 1989. Receiving a multi-million dollar renovation in 1997. Today, the Waterfront Restaurant is a cut above the competition and one of San Francisco's foremost dining destinations. The core feature tradition the business must maintain is restaurant featuring seafood. Both businesses met the three criteria required for listing on the Legacy Business Registry, and both have received a positive recommendation from the Historic Preservation Commission. Legacy Business Program staff recommends adding the businesses to the registry and has drafted a resolution for each business for your consideration. This concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions, and there are business representatives present who may wish to speak on behalf of their applications during public comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Michelle. Commissioners, any questions or comments so far? None? Can we open it up for public comment?
If speakers want to come to the mic, you can line up on my left, your right, or just come forward.
I'm Daniel Delicato, the son of Gaspari and Robin, who helped me over the 7 years ago take over the restaurant. And like I've said before, with all the child labor, I've probably been there for about 40 years myself. But we have a good thing going for us, and I'm happy to continue it for the city, San Francisco. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, commissioners. Angelina Yu, staff with Supervisor Connie Chan's office. Today, we're here to speak enthusiastically in support of Gaspari's for consideration in the Legacy Business Registry. For as long as I think we've been around in the Richmond, the facade of Gaspari's, but more importantly, the interior of Gaspari's has felt like a second home for so many families. Neighbors tell us constantly it's a gathering space for not only their regular get-togethers with friends and neighbors, but the place they go to for special occasions, dates, and anniversaries. But what is probably the most, I think, treasured part of the business over the decades is that it's stayed an affordable and kind of true to tradition place. It is this place you go to for the side of nostalgia when you want the jukebox and the classic dishes, but it's also this place that people feel like they can keep going back to again and again, right there located in the heart of the Richmond. So we are very excited to see them included in the Legacy Business Registry. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public speakers?
Anybody else? Seeing no other public comment is closed. Commissioners, any comments or questions? Commissioner Benitez.
Hello. Gaspari's, my wife is from San Francisco, so it's a very generational restaurant for her and her family. Like, they celebrate their birthdays there. Some of their kids have, like, my niece and my nephew on her side have celebrated their birthdays there, so it's really rad. And you won't believe this, but 2 weeks ago, this was a text message from my wife. Hey, do you want to get Gaspari's? Yes. Medium pizza. How many slices go on it? I don't know. Number 29, no bell peppers. Get the penne bolognese, extra bolognese sauce on the side. So it's always imitated, never duplicated. I've tried to do that bolognese. Not quite as good as yours, but it's great. And we love going there, both pick up and dine in. So keep doing what you're doing for the neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Any other comments, commissioners? I just want to say that I'm super excited to see both of your restaurants here today for up for Legacy Business. I think they're both amazing institutions. Like, I can't even imagine what people think when they come to the city and they get to experience both of your restaurants in its own unique ways. And Gaspari's is near and dear to my heart. I love the Richmond District, and I also know that, like, many people talk about it all the time. So I really thank you for all of the work that you put in, and I totally understand what it's like to be in a family business. I think many of us do. And so I love that, you know, you've basically, like, let him kind of do his own thing now with Gaspari's, which gives it a new kind of leg, I guess, to go and see what, you know, what you're going to do with it. And so I think that's, like, a really special thing in a business. It's not always possible, I think, to be able to, I think, let your children kind of make it their own. And yeah, so I'm excited to go back to Gaspari's next week and see, you know, how things have changed once you're a legacy business.
Well, yeah. Thank you so much.
Well, I think those, seeing no other commissioner comments, we are ready for a motion. Would anybody like to make a motion to approve all the legacy businesses as brought forth tonight? I would like to make a motion.
I'll second.
Okay. Motion to approve legacy business registry applications by President Huey, seconded by Commissioner Benitez. I'll read the roll. Commissioner Benitez.
Yes.
Commissioner Cornett.
Yes.
Commissioner Dickerson is absent. Commissioner Herbert.
Yes.
President Huey.
Yes.
Commissioner Ortiz-Cartagena is absent, and Vice President Cezunas.
Yes.
Motion passes. Congratulations.
Congratulations. Next item, please.
Item 3, Board of Supervisors, File 251004, Shared Spaces Program. This is a discussion and action item. The Commission will discuss and possibly take action on an ordinance amending the Administrative Code provisions related to the Shared Spaces Program to remove the Planning Department as the coordinating entity conducting design review, eliminate application requirements of documented community outreach and neighborhood notice, and eliminate public accessibility and alternate public seating requirements, amending the Public Works Code to eliminate requirements of public notice of application, and affirming the Planning Department's determination under CEQA. Presenting today, we have Melanie Mathewson, Legislative Aide to Supervisor Mandelman.
Hello. Good afternoon, Commissioners. Thank you for having me today. My name is Melanie Mathewson, and I am a Legislative Aide for Supervisor Raphael Mandelman. I'm here to discuss Item 3, which updates the administration of the Shared Spaces Program. Specifically, this legislation changes the underlying code governing the program to more closely resemble how the program is being administered today. As you all know, on February 25th, 2020, then-Mayor London Breed issued a proclamation declaring a local emergency in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. In June of that year, she issued the 18th supplement to the proclamation, which created the Share Spaces program. Due to San Francisco's high density and the limited private outdoor space, Shared Spaces quickly became a lifeline for many small businesses. While the program has largely been successful the last 5 years, it is necessary to update the program as we move from emergency response to making it a more permanent part of San Francisco's infrastructure. So the ordinance before you today will do 4 things. First, it clarifies the roles and responsibilities of the departments and individuals who administer the program. Currently, the code reads that the Planning Department plays a leading role in the approval and administration of the program, despite no dedicated staff at Planning working on this program any longer. In fact, 3 months ago, the only staff who had been assigned to this program left the department. Currently, MTA and DPW take lead on application review and approval, and the legislation clarifies that. Monica Murnowich is here who leads on the shared spaces at MTA and can answer any questions related to the current administration of the program. Second, the ordinance would eliminate the documented community outreach and public noticing requirements for new parklet applications. When the program was first created, there was a need for notifying neighbors because the impacts of parklets were largely unknown in commercial corridors. Now these are understood and largely minimal, and the noticing requirements are just serving as an additional roadblock right now to parklet approval instead of providing a tangible benefit to neighbors. The third thing this ordinance would do is eliminate the requirement that commercial parklets provide a public bench. Supervisor Mandelman believes that as a practical matter, if the space is being leased by a business, the shared space is then being activated, providing a clear benefit to the public. Further, business owners make payments to permit their parklet, which goes directly back to the public. The supposed benefit of a public bench is dwarfed by the other public benefits the program provides and instead has complicated the management of the program for both small business owners and for city staff. And then finally, the ordinance requires that parklets remain open during the permitted hours of a business's operation and clarifies that a parklet cannot be utilized solely for storage. As it currently reads, parklets are required to be open from 7 a.m. to midnight, which is not feasible for a majority of businesses and has never really been enforced. Because of the lack of enforcement, some parklets are never opened and instead have been used as a storage space, even during the business's normal hours of operation. We've heard from many merchants, we've heard from residents, that this is not a good use of this space. The legislation gives more flexibility to responsible parklet owners while giving the city more enforcement ability against those who are not using the shared space for its intended purpose. So those are the four things. As you're all aware, parklets are uniquely San Francisco invention. 2005, a group of friends fed the meter at a parking spot in Soma, rolled out a patch of grass, and reclaimed it as parking day. Now we call them parklets, but the concept is the same. Reclaim a piece of the street and give it back to the public. San Francisco is a steward of this program, which has now taken hold in major cities across the world. And it's our responsibility to periodically review and update it to ensure its long-term success. We think this legislation makes modest but meaningful changes to achieve the goals of the Shared Spaces program. I'm here to answer any questions, as well as Monica from MTA, who can answer questions about the program administration. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Commissioners, any questions? I think this is this. I'm very excited about these changes to be able to remove a lot of, I think, people's concerns that we've heard. Like, small business owners often worry about what happens to their parklet during the hours that they're not open, and I think that's a huge change. And I think also the removal of a private bench, these are all really great changes for the program. Do you foresee that there are going to be any other, are there any other things that you noticed that were left off of this particular piece?
I know that the mayor's office is really interested in shared spaces in general and figuring out what's next for the shared spaces program. For our office specifically, this was kind of, Supervisor Mandelman was really, the motivation was using parklets as a storage space. So that goal is achieved here. I think there is conversations though in City Hall about how can we make shared spaces in the parklet program in general be a better conduit for public spaces and also for small businesses utilizing them. So I know there's conversation, but nothing specific that I can point to.
What do you think the capacity of MTA to be able to hold the whole program on its own would be?
I will let Monica answer that, if you don't mind. Monica from MTA.
Good evening, commissioners. Thank you for the question and the opportunity to elaborate. This really is status quo of the program. So this kind of cleanup is not introducing additional responsibility or burden. We have about three FTE that work on the program, including myself. And we partner with Public Works. They're the permitting agency. They're the enforcement agency. So we have their muscle and their staff and expertise over there as well. So the combination of both our departments. But you ask about MTA. Yes, we have a dedicated team within the parking and curb management team in the streets division. And we kind of oversee the sort of start to finish of permitting in collaboration with Public Works.
Have you noticed any trends in terms of like more people wanting to get a parklet placed now that there are other programs also that are trying to help businesses get parklets?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's pretty stable. Although I will say my colleague was telling me earlier today, we got three new applications in the last week, which is not common. For the most part, it's been memorializing and permitting a lot of our pandemic era parklets and bringing them up to code. So structures that exist today or businesses with parklets today and bringing them into compliance. So not a lot of new, we're kind of at the saturation. There's like around 500 structures citywide. So down about half of like what we saw during the height of the pandemic, but much more than 60, which is what we saw before 2000, before the pandemic. So still a lot of interest, but pretty steady, I would say.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Vice President Zizounis?
Thank you both for coming today. Couple questions. So the kind of enforcement of vacant Parklets is that phase is kind of complete, and we're now just having the compliant and participatory businesses, you know, exist, and those are who you're dealing with as clients. We're kind of past like a lot of enforcement hurdles, or like those who have them, and they're like, I just kind of want to know the state of things as we have seen certain sunsetting and new applications in the last like year.
Sure. So I think the question, are we, if I understand correctly, to clarify, are we past a lot of enforcement and sort of what's out there? Is it, that's what's out there and sort of legalized? I think yes and no. There's definitely stragglers. Mm-hmm. For the most part, we've done an excellent job cleaning it up, and businesses that had abandoned parklets or closed or were not in compliance, and really we've really tackled that a lot over the last year. Mm-hmm. So the majority of what you see out there is either permitted, there's about 350 permitted, or working actively to get permitted, and then there's probably less than 50, 20, 30 that are really like not making much progress and either need to remove structures or come into compliance. But so yes, some enforcement, but making a lot of headway.
That's great. I mean, this commission did see the start of this legislation pre-COVID actually. And so we have been at the forefront of that, and it's pretty cool to see the dynamic, you know, phases of parklets, and now it being so institutionalized. Wanted to know, and maybe both of you can speak to this, kind of the neighborhood conversations around corridors, since we did see a parking space by crosswalks being removed, and you know, we are still having the ongoing conversation about delivery access for a lot of commercial corridors, especially those with like, you know, red lanes and stuff like that. So just wanted to know what the taste, like if you have a case study in D8 or if that's been a larger MTA conversation.
Yeah, I can speak this. So actually, Monica and our office, we've kind of been working on this, but we've been working on some other efforts to free up some other parking opportunities in commercial corridors in D8. We did a walkthrough in Coal Valley looking for additional opportunities. So we're exploring other ways to alleviate some of that parking pressure for merchants in commercial corridors that are beyond just the parklet program. But I think to what Monica was saying, you know, a lot of what we've heard from merchants is like, we love parklets, but we don't love when they're just used for storage and taking up a parking space. And so that's where we were hearing a lot of that, and that was the impetus for President Mandelman really pushing that in this legislation. And so from there, we've consulted with some of the bigger groups. The GGRA has been part of this conversation. They're really happy about it. Our Castro merchants are really happy that we're moving forward with this. So it seems like people want to see parklets as long as they're being used in the way that they're intended to, and this legislation is really trying to make that more possible and allow DPW to enforce against those who are not using it correctly and give a little more space to those who are. And so we've felt like there's been good support, and I hope that D8 will see a lot of benefits from this.
I think like our commission often asks the questions around implementation and like the small business's role in that, you know, vis-a-vis like triage, like, you know, we're not public space anymore. So where do we send people that, you know, and kind of the big picture piece that I do want to name is, you know, this is an objective shift from public to private use, and small businesses have never been the antagonist to public access. Like culturally, at least the small business I grew up in, like, you know, corner stores, like we are public access and public space is part, you know, for the course for being a small business. So I just want to like name like that small businesses too. I know this is like not in the legislation, but the elephant in the room for us is like, what's the triage? Like, is 311 still like the best tool? If somebody is there a way that small business is in this, you know, new change of code, be outreach to be like, here's the closest public space that you can tell people to go to or something like that? Because it happens in theory, and then in practice for us as like at the ground level, like how do we then tell the public where do we redirect the public? Because it is kind of regrettable that like small businesses are constantly like found, you know, because of city policies in that antagonism that really is not culturally like our thing, you know, and we want to have that public access.
And we hope that this legislation helps give small businesses a little bit more ability to, or and DPW to enforce a little bit, but I hear what you're saying. We wanted this to feel like small businesses have a little bit more flexibility and how when they open their parklet, when they don't open it, do they need to have a public bench or not? So it gives a little bit more options, but I totally hear what you're saying and...
No, I congratulate you all for the update in code and the adaptation of this. That's what we need to do in different times. I'm just stating the macro of, you know, increasingly we've seen certain, public space in policy is becoming shrunk. And that's across the board. And we just need to recognize that small businesses, I think should be part of that triage conversation too, of then where do we help send people that need a place to be.
Thank you. Commissioners, any other questions or comments? Seeing none, let's open that up for public comment.
Hello, my name is Ralph Hibbs. I'm a resident of D8. I live at Castro Market. I wasn't originally going to speak, but some of the comments that you made compels me to speak. Parking in the Castro is tight. 15 years ago, we had 470 general meter parking spots. Today, we have 250. That's a dramatic loss in 15 years. That came from colored curbs, came from parklets, came from loss of private parking lots. Our businesses have been hurting since COVID. They've not recovered from COVID. Part of it is parking. There's just some things you can't buy on Muni. You can't buy a large painting and take that home on Muni. You really can't go to Cliffs and buy a big piece of lumber and take that home on Muni. So cars are an integral part of our neighborhood for today. They may not always be a part of our neighborhood, but today, while we're low density, parking is critical to the success of our businesses. Parklets are the private appropriation of public land for private benefit, which is wrong. Parklets today are also unsafe. They're an unmitigated safety disaster. In Rome, where I was at last June, their parklets are still cages, and they're not allowed on roads with buses. If a car were to sideswipe a cage in Rome, or a parklet in Rome, they would bounce off. If a car sideswipes a cage or a parklet in San Francisco, they'll plow through. Unfortunately, this is America. Until a child dies, that's not going to change our legislation. But the parklets are not being used, many of the parklets are not being used for their intended purpose today. They're only used in the Castro for a few sunny afternoons from the hours of 3 to 7, when it's a nice place to have a beer. The rest of the time, they're locked with scissor gates. No parking for the public, no public access for anyone. They're locked and collecting dust. This legislation is a step. I wish it would go further. I wish it would include incentives for owners to dismantle, perhaps a stipend for each parklet that's dismantled, pay them to make it go away, or refund their permit for the past year. But do actively encourage the underutilized parklets to work their way out of the system. There are some that will always remain. They're charming. But we do need to get rid of some of the others. And there is a sidewalk option that's free that many of those parklets could easily be replaced by. I think that was my time limit, or was that my half time?
You have 20 more seconds.
Okay. And right now, they've done a lot of enforcement, but they're not enforcing things like hours, because right now the hours are ridiculous. So definitely the open during working hours will help. But there is a question of whether DPW will actually be motivated to do enforcement, even with this legislation. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Simon Bertrang with SF New Deal. And we have been working for a couple of years now supporting small businesses to apply for shared spaces permits, and we strongly support the legislative changes that Supervisor President Mandelman has put forward, all four of them. Monica and her team at SFMTA actually manage the program right now. It's just a recognition of the reality of it. They're doing an excellent job. We should actually have the legislation recognize the coordinating agency that is the case. The streamlining of the public process, we also support the elimination of the public notice. Also, the hours at the from the very beginning were unrealistic imposition on small businesses to expect them to be able to open the parklets for longer hours than their actual operation. So we support that removal of that provision as well. And then the public bench provision, which although admirable in terms of trying to figure out a way that the public could use parklets, it seemed like a compromise that did not actually work in reality. It was a single seat. You can imagine that if people were wanting to hang out with a friend, that they wouldn't actually be able to sit down in these parklets. So it was a compromise that didn't actually work. I think if we are interested in public spaces on commercial corridors, we have to lean into the public parklet provision to create public spaces. And I think the only thing I would say, I would never want to hold up this legislation. These are common sense changes that I'm excited that President Mandelman is bringing forward with the support of the agencies. But I would hope that in the future we'll also make it easier and perhaps less costly to provide public parklets as opposed to the commercial parklets. But all in all, very supportive of this legislation. Seems like a very set of common sense changes for shared spaces and the natural evolution of the program for San Francisco. So thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, commissioners. Alma Castellanos, Director of Operations at Glecha. We also do a lot of the small business support in San Francisco, and we work closely with shared spaces as well as SF New Deal. So we strongly support this legislation as well, as we have seen, like, from the beginning of the pandemic, what was the requirements at that point, and then now to the requirements of what is needed. And something that Simon pointed out is the hours. So it does seem like a common sense fix. So we would hope that it doesn't get delayed either, and that the legislation passes. So we strongly support it. So thank you guys all.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Seeing no further public comment is closed. Would anyone like to make a motion? I would like to make a motion to approve the legislation and support the legislation.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion to support Board of Supervisors file 251004 by President Huey, seconded by Commissioner Cornett. I'll read the roll. Commissioner Benitez.
Yes.
Commissioner Cornett.
Yes.
Commissioner Herbert.
Yes.
President Huey.
Yes.
Vice President Cezunas.
Yes.
Motion passes. Thank you. Next item, please.
Item 4, San Francisco Chamber of Commerce presentation. This is a discussion item. The commission will learn about small business initiatives and resources offered through the Chamber of Commerce. Presenting today, we have Rolando Tirado, Small Business Manager at the SF Chamber of Commerce. Hi, welcome.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, commissioners, for having me. My name is Rolando Tirado. I'm the small business manager at the San Francisco Chamber of Commerce. I'm going to talk a bit more about our work, both supporting our membership and the greater small business community here in San Francisco. So I'm going to start with Myself. So my name is Rolando Tirado. I'm actually a San Francisco native, a child of two Guanajuato immigrants that moved here in the 60s and 80s to, oops, sorry. It's a little low. Sorry about that. So they moved to San Francisco in the 60s and in the 80s. I grew up between Bernal Heights and the Mission District, spending most of my time in the Mission District. When I was growing up, I did a lot of grassroots activism with a series of different community organizations in the Mission District, supporting a series of different initiatives. As I got older, I got into entrepreneurship once I got out of college, in tourism specifically. And my work in tourism is what actually got me into supporting small businesses, because the stories that I was telling of San Francisco, I wanted individuals to engage with the culture tangibly. And I feel that our small businesses in San Francisco are a great way to do that. So if I'm talking about the history of Alice Waters and the Bay Area and the food movements that have came out of here, I wanted to send them to great restaurants in the city like Lolo. If I talk about the incredible music history like Sly and the Family Stone, I wanted to make sure that we're going to places like Mr. Tipples and Bix to engage in incredible music. And that's what put me on the radar of the San Francisco Chamber of Commerce, and where I came on as a small business manager to have a more tangible impact in our small business community. So the San Francisco Chamber of Commerce is a nonprofit organization that's been around for 175 years. We work on pro-business initiatives that support and pro-business initiatives and policies that support our business community. I focus on our small business membership specifically. So I make sure that our members are connected to a plethora of different resources around San Francisco to ensure their sustainability and their scalability. Also, we work on broader small business initiatives in order for us to support the greater small business community, because anything that's net positive for the small business community is going to be net positive for our members. And so we work with our corporate partners to put on workshops, panels, and a series of other programming in order for us to support those greater small businesses. And we also work on larger initiatives in San Francisco, like San Francisco Small Business Week, which it involves both private and public sector. We get a bunch of support from the Office of Small Business and all their leadership, which we really appreciate. And the goal of San Francisco Small Business Week is to create a week's-long worth of programs that supports businesses with panels, workshops, fireside chats, and networking opportunities, and greater promotes the small business commerce corridors and any ways to continue engaging and supporting them. We also host merchant walks around San Francisco, in order for us to activate different commerce corridors and to drive foot traffic to these different neighborhoods, in order for us to showcase the incredible small businesses that we have in our communities and to increase awareness of all the great work that all of the city's doing, not just specific neighborhoods. And these, for anyone that's looking to get involved with the San Francisco Chamber of Commerce, the first thing I always tell them is to engage with our free programming rather than making an initial investment into the organization. See if you're gaining value based on the programs that we provide. Merchant Walks and San Francisco Small Business Week are great opportunities to do that. We're also working on a series of other initiatives for next year to continue supporting our greater small businesses. And so looking ahead, one of the things that we're really focused on for next year is helping our local enterprise businesses that we have in San Francisco, our local business enterprises, excuse me. And so figuring out ways to connect them to some of our greater partners, to take advantage of some of the supplier networks that we have or supplier RFPs that are available in order for us to continue being that great conduit. I think one of the biggest values that the Chamber has is being the conduit between the private and public sector, but also our larger businesses to our smaller businesses, and figuring out different ways to provide them opportunities to continue scaling their enterprises. And also connecting some of our larger partners to our smaller businesses through programming to take advantage of emerging technologies in order for them to be competitive as we move into the next phase of what it means to do business in San Francisco. And so if anyone's looking to get involved, they can reach out to me on here. I don't have my email, but it's rtirado@sfchamber.com. You can subscribe to our newsletter. That's probably one of the best places to see all of the great programming that we have available. And I'm always an available resource for anyone that wants to reach out and learn more about the work that we're doing and how to get involved. So thank you very much.
Great. Thank you very much for your presentation. I think commissioners may have some questions for you. So if you want to say, Vice President Zunis.
Thank you, President Healy. Thank you for coming. Great to hear about the chamber from your perspective and the renewed efforts to connect to the small business community. My family's business and my business are in a ethnic trade association, and we're starting to have conversations around, you know, vendor relations, and especially in light of
supply chain issues, tariffs, among other things. A lot of small businesses, have structural gaps in their supply chains because of pressure big business puts on, to raise minimums for deliveries and stuff like that. So my question would be, is you have some big players that are in your membership. They are like effectively vendors and suppliers to a lot of small businesses in the city too. I mean, is there possibility to get some of these small business networks in the room with these big businesses that are our suppliers and be able to like negotiate better rates, essentially, like things towards that, or like we're really trying to talk about collectivism in the small business community. Like, how can we start to identify, on the technical assistance level, we've been doing that. Like, what are the trends and issues that we all face? And now I think we're shifting that to like economic level. Like, what are the supply chains that everybody is like needing support with, or kind of certain vendor relationships that used to be really good and kind of need reintroductions and stuff like that.
Yeah, so one of the things when I came into the chamber was really try to leverage my grassroots organizing experience and kind of bring some of that intentionality into the San Francisco Chamber of Commerce. And I think anyone that knows me in the small business space knows that I'm a big advocate for collaboration and building community. And so part of next year's initiative is really trying to focus on like vendor relationships, like you mentioned, whether it's LBEs or individuals that are maybe seeking new opportunities when it comes to leveraging their products in some of these larger organizations, was born from the conversations that I've been having with a lot of small businesses, especially our medium-sized small businesses that oftentimes feel like they're overlooked. So I'm actively looking to leverage our larger partners and figure out, what are RFPs that are coming down pipe that they can take advantage of, or what are some relationships that we can continue building in order for them to have favorable conditions if they are customers of theirs. And so we're trying to figure out what the right vehicle of that looks like. And we're ideating that process as we speak to see, is this going to be a monthly meeting that we have that maybe converges, vendors to some of these larger RFPs? Is it going to be having, maybe more frank conversations about, what some favorable conditions can look like in order for us to support our smaller businesses, and any other, insights or initiatives that can greater augment these vendor relations and provide them the best conditions possible in order for them to succeed. And so it's something that I'm really passionate about from the conversations that we're having, and I'm excited to share more of once we have, again, the right vehicle in place to be able to leverage for our smaller enterprises.
Thank you. Now that you've been part of the chamber for a little while, right, what are some of the things that you would recommend? I know you gave us, a lot of the different things that the chamber does. What are some of the things that you would recommend small businesses take advantage of immediately? Like, if you had to pick the top three, I'm guessing some of those items, and I did hear some of those, but like, just to be very clear about just because I think small businesses oftentimes don't think about like being a part of the chamber,
yeah,
because it's such a it feels like such a big business type of arena or association, and I think they're not always clear about how to just begin. And I know you talked about like signing up for the newsletter and speaking with you, but are there events that are coming up?
Yeah, sorry. So I think honestly the best way, like our programming is fantastic, but if individuals feel intimidated to engage with a large organization like the San Francisco Chamber of Commerce, or at least a legacy organization that's been here for so long, it's just starting with your neighbors. I think the serious theme for San Francisco Small Business Week was called Rising Together. It's what the emphasis of that was, to encourage small businesses to build relationships with peer small businesses, not as a nice to have, but a strategic tool. This idea of like, how are you collaborating with your corridor in order for you to create some type of vitality, or maybe work on some type of like marketing campaigns, or just anything that you can work on to support each other in order for you to scale your presence. And working with local merchants associations is also a great way of doing that, but really like figuring out, how am I reaching across the street to my neighbor in order for us to collaborate? Because from my previous experiences, both how I grew up and a lot of the organizing that I did, when resources got tight, when conditions got less than favorable, it's oftentimes when people started to band together in order to support each other. So I would say starting there, it's just like, what's the coalition of people that you have around you that you're working with? Because being an entrepreneur isn't a solo endeavor. I think oftentimes when people think of business and they hear competition, they immediately associate it to like adversarial. But in reality, what you should be doing is continuing to expand your network within small businesses and leveraging those networks to support each other. And then from there, you know, figuring out what are like, you know, bigger ecosystems that you can participate in order for you to take advantage of maybe some opportunities that you weren't aware of. Because I know one of the issues that a lot of resource outlets have is marketing to the small businesses and figuring out where those resources are. So I think once you have that strong community of people that are engaged and are going out to either Small Business Commission meetings or maybe Merchants Association meetings, or a series of other outlets where they're gathering this information and then making sure that you're leveraging that within your community. I feel like that's a quicker and more tangible way of doing it, considering that you probably already know your neighbor. And then from there, seeing how you can snowball that.
And, you know, I think being a part of the San Francisco small business community here, we feel like our small business community here is very tight and, like, and very unique to our city. How does the chamber kind of help corporations understand our landscape and our cultural kind of context?
Well, for me, the way that I elucidated to our larger partners is, if you want a high quality workforce to and attract them to San Francisco, we need to have a vibrant neighborhoods and dynamic commerce corridors where they can go and build community. I think the one thing that people tend to miss at a larger scale when it comes to smaller businesses, it isn't just transactions. These are actually community hubs where people can feel connected to space. And so if we, when we talk about conversations about driving individuals into the office, right, like work can't be the only galvanizer to get people there. Individuals need spaces where they can go and build community. Those third spaces, places where you don't where you don't have to exercise personalities that are the binary in the binaries of work and home, places where you can go and express yourself. And so for individuals that are looking to get an attractive workforce that wants to stay here and maybe wants to come into space, places like insert any one of the incredible small business, even like Paper Sun Coffee downtown now, and their Tano pop-up that they have for pastries. Like, that's an excuse for people to go into the office on Wednesdays just so they can get a pastry and they can pop into the into work. And so it's really trying to elucidate that those are the tethers that like galvanize people to go into space. And if they're being thoughtful about how they're supporting these smaller enterprises, whether it's through sponsorships for specific initiatives or figuring out other ways to collaborate with these smaller businesses, is going to be paramount not only to the local economy, but also to the individuals that they're looking to mobilize and move around the city and county of San Francisco. And so I think really emphasizing these places as cultural institutions and places that they can, you know, put on a preferred vendor list in order for them to supply specific goods and services. And even some of our larger partners, when we're talking about the LBEs, like supporting these institutions that are providing maybe some of the more back-end infrastructural supplies that you need that are then supporting families that live in the city and county of San Francisco. So I think for me, the big thing is it's a tether for the people that work for you, and it's a great way for you to get people excited and galvanized about the city and then coming in and supporting with inside of the office.
I think going back to something that you said earlier about helping businesses that are like medium-sized here in the city scale, what are some of the resources that you think that the Chamber of Commerce could help with?
You said so to help scale LBEs?
Or to help scale mid-sized businesses. I think that was something that you had mentioned.
Oh, I said medium-small businesses.
Or medium to small businesses.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just connecting them to more of those opportunities that can become legacy partners of theirs that they continue to work with. And so it's like insert big developer in San Francisco that is looking to connect with, you know, a local medium, it's a small business. Connect with a local small business to provide, you know, the very very crucial services in order for them to develop their either housing or beakers at some of the labs at some of our larger, you know, healthcare institutions and things like that. Like, how can we help create the environment or the conversations for them to be able to connect to those individuals? And that's, again, that's a work in progress and something that we're workshopping right now at the Chamber. So these are some of the ideas that we're talking about ourselves and to figure out, like, what is the right, because I personally don't like shots of adrenaline. Like, anything that I like to do, like, I like it to be sustainable. And so it's just like,
if we can connect someone to ARFP, that's great. But is there opportunities for that relationship to snowball into something bigger? So it's just figuring out, you know, how do we do both, right? There's obviously, like, you want to take advantage of the one-offs, but it's like, what are other vehicles that we're taking advantage of? Or at least, how are we strategizing when it comes to some of these initiatives so that it does create momentum rather than just, again, a shot of adrenaline? Mm-hmm.
Great. Thank you. Commissioners, any other questions? Seeing no further questions, thank you very much for your presentation. We still have to take public comment, so if you don't mind. But I wanted to thank you for coming today and sharing with us, because I think oftentimes small businesses, like, we barely have time to get to kind of, like, understand our merchants associations, and some people may feel more comfortable coming to, like, some of these events on a citywide level, right? And so, and I also do appreciate that you do so much for Small Business Week and working with our office on creating really good programming. So thank you very much for coming and presenting. And now, can we take public comment?
Thank you, commissioners.
Any public comment, please come forward. Seeing no public comment is closed. Thank you very much for your presentation. Next item, please.
Item 5, approval of draft meeting minutes. This is a discussion and action item. The commission will discuss and take action to approve the September 22nd, 2025 draft meeting minutes.
Commissioners, any questions about the draft meeting minutes? Seeing no questions. Any public comment about the draft meeting minutes? Seeing no public comment is closed. Next, we should make
a motion.
We have
to accept them. Is there a motion to approve the draft meeting minutes?
Move to approve.
Motion by Vice President Sezunis. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Oh.
Seconded by Commissioner Herbert. All right, Commissioner Benitez. Commissioner Cornett?
Yes.
Commissioner Herbert?
Yes.
President Huey?
Yes.
Commissioner, or Vice President Sezunis?
Yes.
Meeting minutes have been approved.
Thank you.
Next item, please. Item 6, general public comment. This is a discussion item allowing members of the public to comment generally on matters that are within the Small Business Commission's jurisdiction, but not on today's calendar, and suggest new agenda items.
Any public comment? Seeing no public comment is closed. Please call item 12.
Item 7, director's report. This is a discussion item. Update and report on the Office of Small Business Department programs, policy, and legislative matters, announcements from the mayor, and announcements regarding small business activities.
All right. Good evening, everyone, commissioners. So first up, just in case you haven't seen this announcement, just wanted to share that last Friday, OEWD opened up an application for a new a grant program called SF Thrives. And it's really designed for businesses in designated low to moderate income neighborhoods that are still experiencing a slower post-pandemic rebound. So there are those businesses that are eligible would could receive up to $10,000 in reimbursement grants for eligible operational expenses. And one of the main criteria I really want to make sure to emphasize is that the storefronts must have been operating on or before December 31st of 2020 and had to close or limit operations during the shelter-in-place orders issued by the city. And so the specific neighborhoods that are eligible, businesses that are located in Soma, Mid Market, and Tenderloin, Western Addition, and Treasure Island. So again, that's Soma, Mid Market, Tenderloin, Western Addition, and Treasure Island. One of the first steps is to submit an eligibility verification form, which is very simple, and that is due on Friday, November 14th at 5 p.m. And so The website where you can find this information has a lot of these details, and if you submit information via the eligibility verification form, you'll be able to plug in your business account information, your address, and that will tell you if you're even within those locations or not. We do have, I believe that we shared out information on this, but we also have it on our website, our OSB website, where there's a lot of grant information. So just wanted to flag that for all of you. And then in terms of a legislative update, just wanted to share that actually at the end of September, so this was after our last commission meeting, there was legislation introduced by the Department of Public Health to essentially allow San Francisco to run a compact mobile food operation program. This would bring us into compliance with state law that already allows statewide for compact mobile food operations to exist. And those really are carts of a certain size and dimension where you can have food on mobile operations. And so this legislation, again, was just introduced at the end of September. We're still working with the various departments on implementation and what that would look like. So that is still in progress. And you already heard about the Shared Spaces program this evening, so I won't go over that. And then lastly, the mayor's office introduced the local version of legislation. We talked about last meeting regarding street vending and how there was state law that was actually adopted to allow local jurisdiction, San Francisco specifically, to identify commonly stolen items. And so as part of that, the mayor has introduced a local version of that legislation to allow for enhanced penalties if someone is found to be selling these items on this list, which is still in development, alongside the police department and the community. And if they are found to have, be selling these items on this list, they could be subject to pretty hefty fines for that if they don't have a permit. So that's also winding its way through the process pretty soon. So those are, I think, just a few notable items lately that were introduced. Great. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the updates on those. And thank you very much for letting us know about the grant. I think that'll be really impactful for these businesses. So if the business obviously still has to be it has to be up and running right now.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, they're under same ownership, I assume.
Correct. That's right.
Great. Thank you. Commissioners, any questions? Seeing no questions about the director's report, any public comment? Seeing no public comment is closed. Next item, please.
Item 8, Commissioner Discussion and New Business. This is a discussion item allowing the President, Vice President, and Commissioners to report on recent small business activities, make announcements and inquiries, and allows Commissioners to introduce new agenda items for future consideration.
Commissioners, any new business discussion items? Things happening in your communities? I feel like everybody's a little bit shy tonight. Let's see. I just wanted to share, I guess, that the Council of District Merchants, I think.
Sorry, I don't know what that was.
They have had some new leadership there for a little while. His name's Tim Omi, and I have had
you know, several conversations with him just as a business owner and talking about small businesses and things like that. And I think there is a real appetite to get more small businesses involved with the council now. And and I know he's expressed to me that he's wanted more small business owners to kind of reach out and learn about their association, as well as just getting involved with the Merchants Association near them. I think it would be important for us to kind of support small businesses getting deeper into kind of their neighborhood networks and their community networks, whether that be a neighborhood association or other type of business association or sector association, because I feel like for us, this information, just like Director Tang just brought up about like grants and things like that, it's really hard to get that to individual businesses without strong networks. And I think we found that many networks have been built in the last few years. And so I think, if there's a way that our commission can be supportive of some of the associations and the council that also kind of is the body that is supporting all these individual merchants associations, that would be, I think, ideal. So just wanted to recognize that that he's reached out, and it's been really good building that relationship. So any other, seeing no other commissioner discussion or new business, is there a public comment on commissioner discussion and new business? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Next item, please.
Item 9, adjournment. SFGov TV, please show the Office of Small Business slide.
We will end with a reminder that the Small Business Commission is the official public forum to voice your opinions and concerns about policies that affect the economic vitality of small businesses in San Francisco. If you need assistance with small business matters, continue to reach out to the Office of Small Business. Meeting is adjourned.